and thank you for tuning into this episode of the How We Interview podcast. In this episode, I had the pleasure of talking to my good friend, Carrie Corcoran. Carrie is one of the people in the employer brand space I really look up to. She has amazing ideas. She leads and does her work with a ton of heart and just really, really, really well-respected in this space. She's currently between roles right now, and so we spent a lot of time talking about, like, how do you keep yourself well? How do you keep yourself healthy in the midst of a job search, in addition to managing your life and doing all the things we do on a day-to-day basis? Really enjoyed my discussion with Carrie. Very, very heartfelt, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. Enjoy. Thank you for tuning into this episode of the How We Interview podcast. Today, I've got my good friend, Carrie Corcoran, with me. Carrie and I have known each other. We met through Talent Brand Alliance, I want to say. I'm dating myself, like 3 or 4 years ago, but thank you for being on.
Aaron, so great to be here today. Thank you for allowing me to participate as a guest. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you here. For those of you that are not Carrie aware, can you spend some time kind of walking through your background and your journey in the talent acquisition space?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a marketer at heart as well as a connector. It's always been in my blood, so to speak. And about 10 plus years ago, I had the opportunity to work for a contact center solutions company. And I had a dual role where I was responsible for the business marketing side of the house, as well as the recruitment marketing side. And I found that being in that role, in that position, I was so much more drawn to the human side of marketing, or the HR side, the recruitment marketing side of marketing, than I was to the traditional business to business side, because I'm very passionate about people and process and making sure that candidates have a great experience. And so I absolutely loved that opportunity. That's how I got my start in this niche. And then after that, I was with Hilton for about a year and 18 months and led their global Glassdoor strategy. And while I was there, actually was able to get them on Glassdoor's highest rated CEO list, which was a first for them, as well as landing a spot on Glassdoor's best places to work, which was also a first for them. And that is a program and an accomplishment in my career that I'm so incredibly proud of, and working with my business partners across the various units of the company, including the managed and owned hotels. And then after that, I went to work for a bank. I never thought that I would work for a bank. It wasn't something that I sought out. It was someone who found me, and I was their VP talent attraction strategist. I was the only person on a team of 20 under the TA team that did what I did, and did that for 3 years, ended up moving here in Tulsa from Dallas. And then after that, I did some consulting under my Carrie Cares employer brand consulting umbrella, and started my own LLC, and have worked with a lot of different enterprise companies, as well as small to mid-size companies. And then worked for Heartland, which is a payments company, an enterprise payments company. Worked for BECU, Boeing Employees Credit Union. Had a great experience there as a contractor consultant. And in 2023, I was actually laid off twice. I was laid off in January and I was laid off in December. And so that's where we currently are.
Yeah, 2023 can kick rocks as far as I'm concerned. We were talking a little bit in our pre-call about some employment data that just came out. And by every measure, and I'm speaking hand motions around audio only, but by every measure, the employment market in 2023 is a sharp decline. And I think the people that felt that the most were people in talent acquisition. Once hiring goes away, once the necessity to brand yourself effectively goes away, once it turns into an employer market, it kind of constrains what it is we do, which we can get back to. You said something about your background. I think it's fascinating. And it's probably one of the reasons why you and I get along so dang well is I was a marketer for 10 years as well. And that the hook between creatively storytelling to sell more widgets to storytelling to match people and opportunity, that's an amazing evolution. And I feel like if you can do the one thing well, you're going to absolutely be indispensable in the talent acquisition space. Do you feel like because it's so much more rewarding to like create match opportunity in people than it is to sell more whatever the thing is you're marketing? Do you feel like that is why so many people make the, because you figure given what we do, a subset of them come from the marketing organization. Do you feel like the greater good or that cause is what has so many people or is so interesting to people going from marketing to employer brand or recruitment marketing?
I would say you're probably spot on with that. For me personally, I care deeply about people and making an impact in their lives. And you can do that on the employer brand side of things where you can see that sometimes come to life. Where on the business-to-business marketing side of it, you don't always see that with the products or services that you're selling. So you have to have a lot of empathy and compassion and heart and truly be very heart-centered to work on the employer brand side of it. And so there are people who maybe when they initially got into marketing, that's where they thrived. But then they were looking for different ways where they could make more of an impact on society or individuals in general. On the human side of it. And so I would say, I mean, that's what drew me to it. So I would assume that probably drew you to it as well. And it draws a lot of other people there.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say, but it's also easy to forget that, you know, when you're in recruiting, you're in the people business. And
exactly.
If you're very centered that way, it's really gonna speak to you. I think as I get older, I want my work to mean something, which is probably
exactly.
I've stayed in recruiting as long as I have. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? But it's scary working for a brand on the marketing side, straight up consumer marketing. And if you don't have full faith in the product that you're selling, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not every product is indispensable. Not every product is contributing to the greater good. I won't provide any examples, but you can use your imagination.
Right.
Employment's good for everybody. Employment is like people need to provide for their families. They need to provide for their future. And so that puts you in a very unique position to help, you know, move that along. I think it's
fantastic. Oh, it certainly does. I agree with that.
So you've got a lot going on. Every time I look up, you're on a new podcast or you're speaking. Can you kind of share what sort of things you've been up to while you're, I will call it like a hiatus between consulting and being in-house?
Oh, gosh. So last year, I spoke at Talent Acquisition Week. For the first time, I ran a workshop with the lovely Maury Hannigan and Jennifer Terry Tharp.
I know Jen, yeah.
Yes, Jen is awesome. We did a workshop there. It was a two-hour workshop, and it was incredible. Absolutely enjoyed it. Would love to do more of that in the future. That was in January. In May, I spoke at ERE for the first time that was my first solo speaking engagement at a TA conference. And I truly enjoyed that experience. Would love to do more of that in the future as well. Talked about the beginning of the employer life cycle as well as the end of it. So the entrance and the exit and why both of those matter so much. And just had an incredible time there. Gosh, there were probably two or three other summits or conferences. I spoke at Talent Media. I was on a couple of panels with, you know, Craig Fisher's event, both in Austin and then also in Dallas. Spoke with a gal from Campbell's and another one from Toyota in November. So that was a really great experience. And I'm sure I did a lot more in 2023. I don't remember so much specifically, but in 2024, I really have kicked off this year with a bang, and I'm so excited. There's an event that I'm participating in that Anna Morgan is leading. It's called Evolve. It's in Atlanta, the end of January. I'm on a panel with Rona Barrett Pierce and Nicole Coffey, and we're going to be talking about employer brand and recruitment marketing using video and how you can do that effectively as a TA leader and lead that charge. So I'm super excited for her event. That is going to be a must attend event of the season. And beyond that, I was on the Job Father podcast, and that one is one out of Dallas, but it's also nationwide. That was last Friday, so I'm excited for that episode to go live here in a few weeks, and shared a little bit about my job transition and what that looks like. Great place to network and meet more people. And gosh, I mean, that's January, so
that's a lot. Yeah.
You know, we can only go up from here. I absolutely enjoy sharing my knowledge and adding value where I can in the industry and giving back in so many different ways.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I remember when I first started in TA, this is my 16th year, which I don't know where the time's gone, but I remember feeling very alone, you know, marketer and, you know, this is like LinkedIn was in its infancy. Networking was hard. And there was just a handful of people that did what we did. I think it's so important now because, you know, time marches on that we have become those people in this space that have kind of been there, done that. We've tested and learned a lot. We've got a lot of learnings from there. So I think it's so amazing that you take the time to be able to give back, be able to dispense your advice and help kind of guide people along who may either not know where to even start. AI doesn't answer every single question. Some of this just kind of has to be lived. So I think
absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know we're considered veterans in the industry now.
I know. I don't know what happened, and I won't turn this into a therapy session, but I went from being like the young guy with tons of potential to being like the oldest guy in the team. And it felt like it just happened over a weekend. I don't know what happened.
Right.
Yeah, but it is something I guess a lot of people took time and care with helping develop me, and I figured it's probably the least I could do to give back, and I know you're doing the same.
Absolutely.
This episode of How We Interview is brought to you by Riembi. You understand the importance of maximizing your team's efficiency. Instead of having your recruiters or coordinators spend time with expense reports to reimburse candidates for interview expenses, automate the process with Riembi. Riembi streamlines the reimbursement process, ensuring your candidates receive their reimbursement quickly and accurately. Your team can focus on other essential aspects of the hiring process by eliminating reimbursement tasks from their workload. Automating reimbursements is a significant improvement to the candidate experience. No more dealing with spreadsheets, attaching receipts to emails, or waiting weeks to receive the payout. With Riembi, the reimbursement payout to your candidates is sent the same day expenses are approved. To learn more about how Riembi can help your team, visit Riembi.com. That's Riembi, R-E-I-M-B-I.com.
So you mentioned 23 was not your favorite year. You mentioned 24, you've been consulting and also still looking. I feel this very deeply because I've always been very focused on the candidate experience, but being out of work for a period of time, I think has made me laser focused. I don't know if it's given me like a superpower, but what kind of things have you learned as you look to find your next home?
Oh gosh, I know for me, so just a little bit on the personal side of things, I went through a spiritual awakening in 2023, and that really changed the trajectory of my life and a lot of my thoughts, and led me to thinking that I'm looking for more purpose in my life. And I also had a health scare back in September of last year. I had a small brain aneurysm. Mm. And so that also truly changed my perspective. And, you know, every day above ground, I'm grateful to still be here because a lot of people don't survive that.
Yeah.
And mine was very mild. I came out of it. No challenges that I know of. At least
I haven't. Good, you can laugh about it because that's super scary, right? Like, it's like,
oh, yeah.
No good brain aneurysms, right? They're all levels of bad.
Oh, yeah. It was a scary situation for sure. And, you know, I am looking to join a company where my values align with the company's values and not necessarily me supporting their values if we're not in alignment. Mm-hmm. So I am very specific for what I apply to and who I take on as a client and what that looks like. So I think I answered your question, but I may have gone off on a tangent.
No, you did. And I think it's whether it's a health scare or just a change in your life, or just as we all get older and wiser, I guess, over time. I'm with you. Like we talked about this a little bit in our pre-meeting. Like my patience for doing something that's not value aligned is like minimal. As I have gotten older, I think I was less idealistic when I was less experienced. It's one thing age has given me is really sticking to my guns and like this is something I have to feel strongly about. Like there's entire industries, and I'm not judging anybody, but there's entire industries I just could automatically disqualify myself from because it's just not a good fit for him. And at the end of the day, I need to be able to live with and sleep, get good sleep, you know, and feel good about the work I do. And
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody's listening to this and like, yeah, it's been, you know, a while between jobs, like what kind of advice would you give to them to kind of not only functionally, you know, look for that next thing, but also to take care of their own mental health?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I had my first layoff back in December of 20, it was January of 2023. So what was interesting about that layoff, so that one actually hit me a lot harder than the second one that year. And I think because I was given so I started on one team and then I was transferred over to another team after 6 months of being in my role. That was challenging in and of itself. Now, one of the things that I was given as a directive was to draft the company's EVP, their entire EVP in a 6-week timeframe. And for those of you who are listening, everybody in employer brand knows that is a very short period of time to develop an EVP. Most companies either hire an agency to help with that or a consultant, or there's like a whole in-house team that supports that. And it was largely myself, team of one. I had very little participation from one other person. Marketing had barely had any participation. And so I was shocked, for one, that would even be a directive coming from this TA leader. And after I fell out of my chair, I called my mentor and I told him about it. And he said, look, you can complain about this, or you can just pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and give it your all. Make it happen, draft that, and check it, you know, check another box off of in your experience in employer branding and recruitment marketing and come out like a shining star. And so I took his advice. I was able to draft it within a 6-week timeframe. I presented everything to the senior leader. And then I never heard anything about it. And then I was laid off.
It's kind of a red flag for anybody listening. I mean, this might be dark, but like you go into a new year and you're asked to do some things and it's front loaded towards the part of the year, you don't see anything in the back half of the year. That's a red flag. I've been in that situation before. And you're like, oh yeah, they want all this done before whatever happens, you know, down the road. But I want to say sorry, because that's terrible to throw your heart, soul into a very condensed timeline to do this work. And then I'm not sure what's worse is the layoff or just not hearing anything back. I think the not hearing anything back is worse.
Well, I figured something was up after I wasn't hearing back from marketing, because marketing was supposed to weigh in on it. We were going to meet and none of those meetings happened. I mean, thankfully they did this after Christmas. So at least let me get through the holiday season and into January. Yeah. But I think that layoff that hit me so hard, because I know the value and the impact that I brought to that company throughout my tenure there. Even though it was a short tenure, I know what I did and I know what I'm capable of. And, I hit the ground running whenever I work for a company and I give it my all and put my heart and soul into it. And then just to basically be shown the door after drafting their EVP, it was a gut punch. And so that layoff was incredibly hard. And so back to your original question, like how did I cope and what did that look like? So I had a lot of time on my hands after that. And I looked to social media and became kind of addicted to social media and went down some deep, dark rabbit holes. And after a while, just pulled myself out of that and said, okay, enough of this. Like, what can you do to start feeding your body, mind, and spirit? Let's get away from a lot of this social media nonsense. And I started working out and then I started journaling, and I'd like to say I meditated, but I am the worst person when it comes to meditation.
Me too. Don't feel bad. Oh,
I don't know. It's never caught on for me. And I turned to yoga. I found this absolutely amazing yoga instructor, and her classes are an experience. It's not just doing the yoga moves. It's mm-hmm. not functional. It is amazing. And she has a different theme for every class. And I can't even tell you, like 2024 was a year of healing and feeling for me. And I think a lot of that had been repressed for about 20 years in my marriage, because that also ended. And I needed that career pause in order to like get back to myself, to find my authenticity, and to truly start living as myself and as I was meant to be and to show up in the world that I wanted to show up in, and not what other people, you know, in the ways that other people wanted me to show up. And so it was just a big evolution on looking at body, mind, spirit, and how do I feed those three buckets and remain sane while I'm going through this arduous job search process. And, you know, truth be told, like I hit poverty level income last year, maybe. And, you know, I luckily have some resources and I was able to collect unemployment. And, you know, like I'm glad that I was able to have that assistance from the government, because that certainly did help. And you know, I'm pretty frugal to begin with, and I live well within my means. Not everybody has that. And so I have been able to be very particular about what I'm looking for and what I don't want, and to truly go after the things that I'm passionate about, and to not have to be in a situation where I take the first thing that is offered to me, or that I go get a part-time job just to have some funds coming in. So that has been a huge blessing. That is not going to be around forever, though. And so within the first 90 days of this year, I'm hoping to attract those clients for some short-term employer brand consulting projects, or to land a full-time role with an employer. So that's truly where I am. And just to keep your spirits, I have to keep my spirits up, and I'm a positive person to begin with. I always look at the glass being half full, and I help others too, and I give back in the ways that I can, because that gives me purpose.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely the right attitude. And I it is interesting. I know we're getting close to time here, but sometimes it takes like something to really kind of shake you up to allow you to see some things that it's just so easy to get content. And all of a sudden days turn to weeks, weeks turn to months, months turn into God knows what. And to be able to kind of reinvent yourself is, I mean, while not ideal, it's an amazing gift, right?
And oh, absolutely.
I think you've got so much to offer. So Carrie, as you look for wherever your next home may be, what kind of things are you looking for? We talked a little bit about value alignment, but like what does like your ideal next opportunity look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thank you, Aaron, for asking that as far as my next opportunity and what that looks like. So I am completely being flexible about what that looks like today. So that could be anything from a part-time opportunity to help a company launch their employer brand strategy, to taking on short-term or even long-term consulting projects and working directly with clients. That it could be a contract, whether that is a part-time or a full-time contract opportunity. Also working full-time as an employee. I'm comfortable being an individual contributor and being a complement to an already established team, or I am glad to take the charge and actually lead the team. So various roles and responsibilities. And as you know, with employer branding, the job titles are all over the place. The salaries are all over the place. So there is no standardization. So I'm being flexible and open to what could fit within any one of those categories. And I have that flexibility right now, which is nice. I know a lot of people don't. So that is truly what I'm looking for. And then just making sure that my values are in alignment with the company's values, and that they're very heart-centered, led, and good for the, I don't want to say environment, but good for the world, but they're doing good in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of really good paying jobs out there, I don't know, fracking or doing something that does not contribute to the greater good. And I think your flexibility is going to serve you well. I remember going through the phases when I was between roles, like week one through three, I was very focused in on a thing. And then as time went on, like my ideal job, like that definition changed quite a bit. And at the end of the day, I was really pleased with the outcome. Kind of wish I was a little more flexible in the beginning, but what are you going to do?
Well, I think that, and so I'm the queen of reinvention and also of pivoting. And so I have been on an internal comms team before, and I feel like with employer brand and the skill set that I have, that easily translates over to working in internal communications. And especially I have a 20 year trade show and event background too. So it's hard to get others to make that connection. Mm-hmm. So I would be open to roles like that as well, or and potentially a traditional marketing type of role, as long as it involved the storytelling aspect, because I'm a storyteller.
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's like where you call home, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you for your time. I, as always, really enjoy our discussions. What's the best way to get a hold of you if somebody wants to do some consulting work, or they're like, hey, I think I've got a role carved out in 25. What's the best way to track you down?
Sure. The best way to find me is always on LinkedIn. It is the social media channel that I am most passionate about. I have my personal profile. I have a YouTube channel, which you can find underneath my headline on my profile. I also have a Curie Cares employer branding company page. I post content on there, though not as regularly as I should. And I do more on my personal page. My DMs are always open. I'm happy to have conversations for people who might be interested in making that transition from marketing over to employer branding and what that looks like, and to share my wisdom and knowledge there. So LinkedIn is where you can find me day in and day out.
That's how I track you down. I'll put links to all this in the podcast notes. So if you want to track Curie down, you can find the links there at the ready. With that, thank you so much for joining. I wish you the best in your search. I look forward to keeping in touch. I also am really excited to hear how the event at the end of January goes.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your podcast today, Aaron. I appreciate it. And always, I'm a huge fan of yours, and I've enjoyed watching your career in this past 10 years in this space. And you're going to continue to rise up and share your wisdom. And I know you mentor a lot of people and give back in many ways. So as a job seeker and someone in the same niche, I appreciate that.
No, that's super kind. I appreciate it. Thank you for being on. As always, I wish you the best.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the How We Interview podcast, brought to you by Riembi. Head to our website at howweinterview.com to find the show notes and links mentioned in this episode. While you're there, subscribe to the podcast through your favorite podcast app so you never miss an episode. Leaving us a rating and review also helps us reach more listeners interested in learning from other talent acquisition professionals.